Next on this book, UFO Contacts from Planet Akhart, on Arthur Burlett's experiences on this planet when he was abducted. We go on chapter 8, Health and Surprises at the End of the Day is the headline. Thus, when our cork retired through a door to my left, feeling sleepy, I relaxed in the chair, with my arms crossed, tired and very sleepy, and dozed. I began to think about the situation. From a car to Earth is 60 millions of kilometers. That is not possible. I must be dreaming. My mind was all a turbulence of ideas. I began to speak dreamily and said, "Why don't I remember?" I began to shake my head to awaken from the dream. I opened my eyes wide, blinked several times, looked at the walls, the furniture, and then I lowered my head and put my hands to my face as commenced to sob, to shout, doing I don't know what. In the middle of this came some profound thoughts, less understood than what was happening around me these last few hours. I had to get up and began to walk about the room, passing one hand over my forehead covered with cold sweat. I trembled from head to foot and felt incredibly weak. I wanted to run out to open the door through which a cork had left and go after him, because those minutes of solitude were annihilating me. Finally, I was able to put those turbulent ideas out of my mind. I said to myself, "No, how insignificant is man before the things that God has created, since all that happens to everyone is simply his infinite will." As I continued to walk from one side to the other, already more calm, the door opened and a cork entered smiling, accompanied by his son. That is the way they saw me. Noticing that I was downhearted, he took the two more steps and looked me well in the eyes, and putting one hand on my shoulder and said, "Seems that you are not feeling well." I was thinking, I said with head down. "Thinking about what?" he said, smiling. "Well, on many things. On my return to Earth, on my family, and all the rest." He gave me some pats on my back and said, "Don't worry, because all will be arranged, perhaps even tomorrow." The sun had already sat down when a cork invited me to sit. Already more energized with their presence, I sat. A cork followed by talking, taking a seat also, connecting first an apparatus with which he could call the television, for it was very similar to our televisions. In it was being presented a dance, something like our ballet, executed by women. A cork asked me, Would you like a drink that contains alcohol? Fearing a little because I was not familiar with such beverage, I responded, very little. I prefer sweet drinks without alcohol. But as this is a drink I made, I can guarantee that it will please you. When in a moment he had served two chalices, I asked, but is it that this is your profession? Proprietor of an alcoholic beverages factory? How mysterious, and for this do you have to ask for a license from your government? Also, can you occupy two positions at the same time, government employee and proprietor of a factory? Serving the chalices, he gave me one saying, try it. I tasted it. It was a little sweetened, very tasty, but contained a good measure of alcohol. Is this from your factory? Yes, he replied, smiling with satisfaction. Did you say that you are a proprietor of a factory for alcoholic beverages? No. No, it is not like that. It is that here on our cart there are many that do not furnish alcoholic beverages in public places, since it is prohibited. But it is allowed to be made and drunk in the home in the hours of evening. Of what do you make these drinks? Generally from fruit. Why then is the sale of alcoholic beverages in public places prohibited? Does this include bars also? Yes, in all places. And the factories sell to whom then? I already said that here there are no factories for alcoholic beverages. Why? For the following reason. All people can live without drinking alcohol, but none can live without eating. Consequently, the government closed all the beverage factories for alcoholic drinks, installing in them factories for the generation of food or other articles of utility for the people. I have noticed that the government here is very interested in the problems of the people. Yes, I can tell you that the government is the people themselves, since from time to time it is elected by the people in elections. It seems to me that your regime is similar to the democracies of Earth. Do you know them? Yes, we know a little about them. Our regime has some semblance to the terrestrial democracies. An interesting observation of mine was that I already had been some 22 hours without sleep and was tired physically and mentally. Standing there with a cork in conversation, always with more questions to ask of him. For certain, the residence of a cork was much warmer than the street, for which that problem no more reminded. This time I asked, on what point does your regime here differ from our democracies? Could you, sir, explain that to me? He touched his shin with the thumb and index finger of his right hand, lowering his gaze toward the floor and, after a moment of reflection, he looked at me firmly and said, "Well, it could be better. But what?" I asked. "It is that I don't know what would be the reaction of my compatriots if they knew that I had told you much of such things of here, causing this to complicate your return to Earth. How are they going to know that we are talking about as we are alone?" And I believe the child does not understand us, and besides, he could not serve as a witness to denounce us. No, it is not precisely that, neither of witness nor of anyone to denounce our exchanges of ideas. For the Son of the Son and the Council will know. Then they must be divine. Absolutely. And in the morning, when I present you to them, perhaps they will question me with respect to that which I explained to you, and I would have to tell. Because with us, not even to save our own lives, would we lie, because lying to man offends the Creator. How important is it if I know some things of here more than I already know? Well, this is very complicated. Please, for your own good, don't ask me any more about anything until tomorrow, after I have presented you to the Council and the Son of the Son. Accept that which you see with your own eyes. I think I have already gone too far in certain areas. Akork had good reason for telling me this, for on the following day I became aware that opinions diverged among the Council with respect to me. Some felt no danger in the laborer from Earth seeing and hearing all he could understand about anything pertaining to Akkart or the Arkartians. They would take me back without leaving me with the least proof that I had been there. Thus, nobody would believe me, not even less on Earth, where they only expect proof of anything, with photos and with eyewitnesses, where the word of a single individual, though he expresses the truth, has little value. On the other hand, the others treated the problems with great seriousness, judging perhaps that I was a scientist posing as a laborer, and according to that hypothesis, the we terrestrials might know more about them than they supposed. I had gotten too close to their machine spacecraft trying to discover something, and know that I was there on a cart due to imprudence of one of them facing my return to Earth, I could hamper a plan developed over much time with relation to Earth. I assured them that there was nothing bad in showing or telling me anything of here, since, judging by the gentleman there, the people here were very peaceful and generous, also by the manner in which I was being treated. Nobody could forget that, and moreover, I had no means to serve as an instrument to disturb their peace. I believe also that the Arcadians felt the same way with respect to relations with terrestrials, since, on the contrary, with the means at their disposal, they had already accomplished much of their plan. No, we are not going to rob you of your peace. But, as he pronounced the last word, a cork suddenly got up. Seeing to me like he had taken an electric shock, well, it was nearly time for the meal. Curtailing the conversation. I believe you would like to get some sleep, since I believe that on Earth you do not go more than 16 hours without sleeping. Yes, we only go past that time in special occasions. Normally, of the 24 hours in the day, we sleep 8 to 9 hours. Looking at his timepiece, he said, it lacks only one decimo, equivalent to 46 minutes Earth time, to complete 22 hours since sleeping. It is that with all the new things and surprises I have had today, I did not think of sleep, and when I go to sleep, I will probably remain for this time also. He shrugged a little in an attitude of preoccupation and smiling, said, me too. At this, his wife entered the room with her always kind smile on her face and went up to a cork, first hugging her son. The boy must have been as tired as I, because he remained seated the whole time and absorbed us without saying a word, since he did not understand the German language. A cork spoke with his wife for a moment. Then she went out, still smiling. I remained seated, without understanding anything they said. A cork served us another drink, too, according to him, hold us over until the meal. We didn't wait long until his wife returned with the food, depositing it on the table. She set plates and utensils. I noted then that she wore a hairdress different from when I saw her the first time. Her hair that before fell over her shoulders now had been divided into four parts, interlayered where they crossed over the head. The two left parts crossed to the right and the two right parts to the left, with the points coming together over the forehead, making four. As we sipped the drinks, we talked about one thing and another, but nothing worth noting. At that time, I noticed that the same room that served as the visiting room was also used for dining, since all of the furnishings were built into the walls. And I thought they might have lacked such conveniences. The wife of a cork finished preparing the table and, with a sign accompanied by a smile, invited us to dine. I say dine because it was already night. We went to the table. I had already sat down when I remembered the proceeding we went through before these meals. The four of us together stood in place around the table, and they in silence made their prayer as I gave thanks to God for having made once more this meal. Finishing the blessing, we sat down. I looked around for the plates I had seen before. Sure enough, they were on the table, with the advantage that this time there were two plates of meat. One was like that which I had already eaten, and the other I recognized as flesh of fish. What was most interesting about this meal was that from the moment I first met Akork, I had asked for explanations about all that I heard and saw. Now, the interrogator had become the interrogated. Akork, serving as interpreter, asked me diverse questions formulated by his wife, and even the boy risked a few despite having remained mute during our talk. I had a serving of meat and that dish similar to rice and bread, being that dark mass with a taste something like our dark rye bread. I soon regained control, indicating the plate that seemed to me to be the flesh of fish. "Is that flesh of fish?" "Yes," he responded. "Do you like it?" "Yes. Of earth I like very much, but here I still don't know. It seems that it must be much different from ours." "No, absolutely not. They are aquatic beings which live in water as they do there on earth. And as you must have noticed, the waters are alike." "Yes, though you say your water is no different, it is liquid like ours, but on earth one glass is enough to satisfy my thirst, while here I need to drink 1 liter. "Yes, to the touch the water was the same, but the same could not be said of the fish that live in it." He handed me a plate saying, "Try it." I took 2 pieces, tasted. It was as he said. It had a taste like that of ours, with the little difference of being dipped in the beaten whites of eggs. Despite all that I had eaten there, it seemed to me that that I would not weigh even 50 kilos there. "A question," Akork interrupted. "What is the basic alimentation in the region in which you live on earth?" "Well, sir, you must know that within the geographical situation of the terrestrial globe is Brazil, the place and country from which I come." "Yes, I'm familiar with all of the countries of your respective continents personally or through maps." "Well, I'm from the south of Brazil. There the climate is amenable with warm and cool seasons. There exists cereals subjected to cold climates and others to the warmer climates. Those of the cold season are planted when it is cooler but give their fruit in the warmer season. With the foods, we do not have a definite line because our region included immigrants from various points of the terrestrial globe. Some have one system of alimentation and others have a different system. The Europeans, the Germanics, tend more towards the sweeter, while the Latins give a preference to the acids. However, there are still the natives of the country, descendants of the Indians of Earth or the Portuguese conquistadors. These ultimately are Europeans but already considered natives of the place because they were the initiators of our civilization of 400 years. These last two give preference to meat and foods of high theoretical nutrition. Because of this, I must say that we have no definite line, since it varies from one village to another, differing in the types of characteristic alimentation. Now, sir, according to what you have explained to me about Akkad, I have deduced that the majority of the cereals as cultivated in my zone, hints on Earth, would not adapt themselves here on Akkad. Why not? For example, the wheat planted in the winter but harvested in the summer after it had formed the grain would die out completely if it got much colder. We have an infinity of other produce cultivated in the summer, but which also could suffer great loss if it got colder out of season. On the other hand, we have produce that can be grown in zones of eternal cold and others in the tropical zones, but they are of small amount. I would conclude, therefore, that in my zone there is no agriculture produce that could be cultivated here, as here there is no fixed seasons for cold or warm climates. Sighing deeply, he said, "That may be," and continued, "from the knowledge you have, you must be agricultural." "No, I was only born in the rural zone. My parents are still farmers. Actually, on Earth, I am unemployed, but my profession is motorist." That means a tractor driver. "I'm waiting to go to work in the community." "Are you married?" "Yes, I have two children." Then he turned to his wife and spoke a few words. From the expressions on her face, Akkad must have given her this news. He turned and asked me, "My wife asked, what is the sex of your children?" "I have a pair." "What are their ages?" The oldest is a girl who is a little more than 2 years old, and the other a boy almost 1 year of age." As soon as I responded, he translated for his wife. "Does your wife know where you have gone?" She always knows, since I had to visit my parents and at the same time make some collections. When I was returning toward my house, I thought I saw an accident, which made me go closer up to it. I think perhaps that someone will communicate to my wife that I have left the house of my parents to go to my home, that I had an accident, since I am certain that Manny saw me getting near to home. I hope that nobody has given her notice and that my wife thinks I'm still there, that I'm with my parents, since, on the contrary, God deliver me from what could happen. She would think that I was dead in the street. I do not care to think of the disgrace. We had finished the meal. I had eaten very little, as I do not go much for foods, having little appetite, and still less with this business we are talking about. When a cork was explaining my situation to his wife, I lowered my head. I had a lump in my throat, as if I had swallowed a bone, and as much as I tried to force control, I could not avoid the tear that rolled down my face. My wife says she is very sorry. She cannot speak in German to be able to express her sentiments about what has happened and still is happening to you. A question formulated by the boy through the interpretation of his father raised my disturbed spirit a little. Do you like it here? Well, I'm being treated very well here, but you are too little to understand that longing which a father feels towards his family, as I am feeling. I know that my father will send you back to see your family. Would you, sir, not like to live here? I would like it better if I could educate my children together with children like you, but that could never be possible. He stopped talking and continued to gaze at me with an air of sadness. The wife of a cork served us still another drink, and after that began to pick up the plates and things from the table. That peculiar smiling attitude of hers had been transformed into compassionate preoccupation after I had been telling her part of my life. I noticed also in a cork something strange. I figured that perhaps he had gone too far in certain details about with me, or perhaps he had some more news for me. I was to see this thought to be fully confirmed the next day. Upon finishing my answers, I could no longer avoid a long yawn in front of that man I had come to respect so much. "You must be getting very sleepy," said a cork. "Yes, it is true, but at the same time I remember there is a night of 23 hours that we have before us for sleeping, since on earth we do not have the same needs to sleep so such hours." Then that was chapter 8, and the next is on a separate audio file.